Welcome to A Deeper Look in the Book. This program is brought to you by Bible Way Community Baptist Church in beautiful Irving, Texas, where our pastor is none other than Dr. Timothy J. Wilbur, Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbur will bring in a series of studies out of the book of John. So get close to your radio and listen now as Dr. Timothy J. Wilbur, Sr. takes a deeper look in the book.
All right, everyone should be receiving a handout for the Bible study for tonight. You should have two handouts. And tonight we'll be looking at the gospel according to St. John. If you just only have one handout, raise your hand. You should have two. All right, well, let's go ahead and get started with our Bible lesson tonight. Let's begin by having a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you and we do praise you for who you are. You're the God who hear and answer prayers. Now, Lord, we ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be acceptable in your sight. For you are strength, you are redeemer. Besides you, there is no other. So speak to all our hearts tonight in a mighty way. And we'll be careful to praise you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Tonight we'll be studying out of the book of St. John. We are making our way through the New Testament, and we've come to the fourth book of the New Testament, which is the Gospel according to St. John. By way of introduction to the book, this book of St. John is known as the fourth Gospel book. You have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then John. However, it is quite different from the other three Gospel books. While the other three books focus on a more narrow audience, such as Matthew, he writes to the Jews. Mark writes to the Romans. Luke writes to the Greek. And John, he writes to the whole entire world. Somebody get John 3:16. What is John 3:16? Oh, somebody want to quote it. Who? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God so loved, he didn't say the Jews did it. He didn't say God so loved the Romans did it. It didn't say God so loved the Greek did it. It says God so loved the world. And so where Matthew writes to show the Jews that Jesus is indeed the King of Kings, Mark writes more to the Romans. And the Romans was interested in how a person could be a good servant, and Jesus was a good servant. The Greeks was interested in the betterment of man, and so Luke shows that Jesus was a perfect man. Well, John is going to show that Jesus is indeed God. And I don't care where you go on this planet, you're going to need God. Is that right? All right. All right. Notice, so we've looked at the most famous verse in the Bible. Now, it is John that teaches us also about being born again and the promise of the Holy Spirit. This book focused more on doctrines, great doctrines of the Bible. Normally, the first book that you would recommend to a person that is saved, once a person gets saved, what book do you want to recommend to a new believer? Normally it is John, because John is going to show us that Jesus is indeed the Christ, that he's indeed the Son of God. And John just brings it right on home, and he's going to show you, and he's going to prove to you without a shadow of a doubt, and he's going to argue his case just like a lawyer. He's going to bring witness after witness after witness to the witness stand, and going to prove without a shadow of doubt that Jesus is indeed God in the flesh. And that's going to be my whole thought and my aim, that when you finish this Bible class on this study of John, that you will be an effective witness for God. You won't be so shy and so timid when you're around folks and folks ask you a question like, is Jesus God? I heard so-and-so say that Jesus was God. Is Jesus God? And you, well, I don't know. I thought that he was God's son. He's not God's son as it is in terms of family relationship. He's God's son in terms of covenant relationship. What do I mean by family relationship? Well, take for instance, I have a son. And to my son, I'm his father. And to me, I have a son. You see? That's a family relationship. I'm first Timothy, and I have a second Timothy. I'm daddy, and Timothy is son. Don't think like that when you start thinking about God the Father and God the Son. Don't think like that. Because, see, I got 20-some years on my son. Jesus and the Father showed up at the same time. Now, and John is going to prove to us without a shadow of doubt that everything that God the Father can do, Jesus can do. Everything that God the Father knows, Jesus knows. Old as the Father is. Jesus existed as long as the Father. See, my son ain't been in existence long as me. No. See, I got a head start on my son. God the Father ain't got a head start on Jesus. They running neck and neck. And that's what, when we study the Gospel of John, you got to understand when he says the Son of God, that's a term that means God is here in the flesh. That's what that means. God is here in the flesh. Kings of old, pharaohs and stuff, they had claimed to be the Son of God, God showing up in the flesh. Remember even when the three Hebrew children were stowed in the fiery furnace, Nebuchadnezzar says, didn't we throw three in? Why do I see four? And the fourth one is looking like he's the Son of God. He looks like he could be a God in flesh. And so Jesus is going to show, y'all been talking about a son of God, but all of them been dying, ain't never got back up. I'm going to show you. I am the Son of God. And so when we study this book, John is writing very carefully. And he's picking things and he's putting it in the book by design to show us who Jesus really is. All right, now let's go on a little further about the author. Who is the author of this book? The traditional view is that St. John the Apostle, is the author of the book. According to John 21 and 20, it talks about the disciple whom Jesus loved was the author of the book. There's other scriptures, too, that shows the disciple whom Jesus loved as John. John was the son of Zebedee and Salome. In chapter 21 and 2, in Matthew 27 and 56, Mark 15 and 40, John 19, 25, read those scriptures when you get home. You tie them together and you'll find out that Salome and Mary were sisters, which then make Jesus and John cousins. All right, now remember, John the Baptist and Jesus was what? Cousins. because the Bible says that Mary, when she found out that she was going to be pregnant, she ran on over to her relative house, and when she got over there, she found out that Elizabeth was pregnant, and matter of fact, she was 6 months pregnant, and the Bible says that when Mary told Elizabeth the good news that she was going to have the Messiah, and the Bible says John got the Holy Ghost, John jumped up in the womb. Now that's John the Baptist. This is not the John that wrote the book of St. John. St. John is, keep in mind, the son of Zebedee. And he had a brother by the name of James. So we see James and John. Alright? Alright. Now, about the date of the book, most conservative scholars say that this book was written about 85 or 90 A.D. Now, when did Jesus die? Okay, 33 A.D. All right? Now, think about it. Jesus died 33 A.D. He lived, what, 33 years, okay? Is everybody with me? All right. Now, if John wrote this book around 85 A.D., how many years from the time that Jesus died to about the time that he wrote this book? Take 33 from 85. What do you come up with? 52 years done went by. Matthew already done been wrote. Mark gospel already done been wrote. Luke gospel already done been wrote. Jerusalem, remember in Matthew 24, Jesus talked about that, y'all think that this temple is so pretty. He says, it's going to come a day, not one stone is going to be left upon another. In other words, this whole big pretty place is going to be torn down. Titus, the Roman emperor, came there in 70 A.D. and tore up Jerusalem. So think about it. John was a young man in his 20s when he first met Jesus Christ. Now, John is an elderly man. John is pushing, could be 80 years old at this point. All right? Because, see, all of them was around the same age. Let's say when Jesus died at 33, let's say John was 30. All right? Because all of them was the same age. Remember, John the Baptist, 6 months older than Jesus. All of them was playmates. Okay? So you're looking at a man around about 80 years, and Jesus has been gone about 50 years. And so there's a need for another book. Matthew done been wrote. Luke done been wrote. Mark done been wrote. A lot of material probably done been burnt up because the whole city of Jerusalem was just tore up. A lot of people who had firsthand knowledge of Jesus, eyewitnesses of Jesus, ain't around. You don't find too many 85-year-old folks still living. Huh? Let's say you had a 50-year class reunion. How many, and let's say you had 100, it was 150 of y'all in class. Now, if you're showing up at your 50th class reunion, about how old are you? You're about 68, 70 if you flunked a couple of years, 75. You see what I'm saying? You know, now, because like now, you know, I mean, they ain't with the social promotion. You know, if you flunk 1 year and then you flunk again, they say, well, the next year you automatically pass. We ain't no let somebody 18-year-old, you know, be in the ninth grade. You see what I'm saying? They used to move you alone, but now, you know, they done took away the social promotion. But getting back to what I'm to making my point is that most of the people who was around in Jesus' day is dead. John now is the teacher. When people find out that there is one disciple that's still living, don't you think that they run into that one disciple to find out? Now let's say, take for instance, Okay, Bible Way is 13 years old. Okay, Bible Way's church, 13 years old. Let's say, Brother Booker, you done been here 10 years. All right, Brother Booker. All right. Now let's say all us live, you know, long life. And then we start dying off. All us here start dying off. Start dying off. And let's say Brother Booker is the last one who's still here, who had personal contact with the founder of Bible Way. He's the only one that's still living. But Brother Booker is 95. He's 95. And folks are asking, Brother Booker, how did the pastor really want the church to be? They got a big commotion in the church. Some say we ought to do this, some ought to do this. They say we ought to ask Brother Booker. Because Brother Booker knew the founder of this church. Brother Booker, what you think about this? So Brother Booker said, let me write you a couple of pages on how marriage is supposed to be in the church. Let me write you a couple more pages on the teaching of the Spirit in the church. Let me write you a couple more pages on prayer. That's how you're supposed to pray in the church. So Brother Booker got that firsthand knowledge. He was taught by the founder. That's how it was in John's day. All of these young folks, they didn't know how to do things. So they coming down to John. They said, hey, a lot of the books, a lot of material done been burnt up, but there's a man over here in this city who actually walked with Jesus. He was one of the original 12. Let's go and see what he say. And so a lot of folks start coming to John. As a result, the Spirit moved John to write a gospel. A lot of folks was even debating. Was Jesus really the Christ? Was he really the Messiah? Was he really who? So now John is able to shoot all this stuff down because he's still living. Keep in mind, when we used to have this saying, when the cat is away, can somebody finish it for me? The mouse will play. See, sometimes people wait for mom and daddy to die off so they can do what they want to do. I'm going to wait for when I was growing up as a little boy, my daddy didn't allow dancing. Was anybody raised like that? My daddy didn't like dancing and what happened. See, y'all can see I'm from another generation. Amen. This is another generation. You know what I'm talking about back there. No cards and no dancing, no drinking, no smoking. All these things are called vices. See, today, what y'all are into, y'all into packing guns and, you know, in my day, if you had a bubble gum fight in school, you know, we call that a big fight. But today, I mean, when y'all talk about fights, y'all talking about really killing somebody. But my point is, a lot of times when the founder is away, a lot of times when the leader dies, then you see an insurgent. See, what the devil tries to do, he tries to wait you out. Yeah. See, the devil start mess when the head is away. He try to wait you out. In a family, and you probably can see it in your family, he wait for, like, at the family reunions. Let's just take family reunions. Aunt Betty and Cousin Joe, they holding the fort down. And Uncle Jim, it ain't gonna be no drinking as long as Uncle Jim is around here. You see what I'm saying? But we wait for Jeff to come and pick up Uncle Jim and take him on home. And then we come on and bring we start bringing the ice chest of stuff out then. You see what I'm saying? Huh? Yeah, you know, we come, you know, somebody, you know, BB, you know, BB come driving up there, and he, you know, with all that loud music and you know, the hydraulics and stuff, and somebody have to run out of the house right quick and say, man, you better shut that off. Uncle Jim is still here. He say, he ain't here. I thought, man,
It's 9:30. He normally be gone by 9. No, Uncle Jim still, man, you better shut that off. All right, well, I'm gonna turn around. I'll be back. I thought y'all was kicking it by now. All right, I'll be back. I'll be back in about another hour. Yes, now, we do that today, don't we? In families. So you can imagine how the devil works when he knows that he got a strong Christian. When that strong Christian die, if somebody ain't there right quick to take that strong Christian place, man, the devil just have a heyday. And so all of Jesus' disciples done died out except one. And John writes a powerful book. Matter of fact, the most powerful book about who Jesus is, about salvation, because that's the most powerful doctrine. Because if you miss that, you miss hell. I mean, you miss heaven. If you miss salvation, you miss heaven, and you get hell. So you don't want to miss that. And where the devil try to confuse you at is on that one doctrine. Yeah, yeah, he try to confuse you there. All right, let's go on. The purpose of this book. Okay, so John gives us the purpose of this book in John 20, 30, and 31. Someone find John 20, 30, 31. John 20, 30, and 31. All right, John 20, 30, 31. All right, look at what the text says, John 20, 30, and 31. John says, and this is the key verse in the book now. Many other signs, therefore, Jesus also performed in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written. Why, John? Why have these been written? That you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. So John, the whole purpose that John is writing is so that you'll know who Jesus is, and you'll get saved, and if you're already saved, you'll be encouraged. You'll be encouraged, because it's nothing worse. See, one of the reasons that people don't witness is they don't know that they're saved. They're not really sure about their salvation. They're not even sure of how to make their witness presentation. Lack confidence. Yeah. And see, as long as the devil, see, once the devil, once you are able to get saved, then the devil will do everything he can to keep you from being a witness. How many folks have you ever heard sitting in church saying, well, ain't no sense in me trying to tell them what to do because I got to work out my own soul salvation. I'm trying to make it in myself. So I can't say nothing about what they're doing because I'm trying to make it in myself. See, as long as the devil got you focused on you, then you ain't got time for nobody else. And that's the whole strategy of the devil today. We got a whole bunch of churches that has the wrong philosophy of ministry. They think it's all about getting bigger. Everybody come over here and get in this building. No, no. That was the problem back in Genesis chapter 11.
If you would like a copy of the message that you have just heard in its entirety, please call the church office at 972-257-3766. That's 972-257-3766. Or visit the church website at BibleWayIrving.org. That's BibleWayIrving.org. And come by and worship with us this Sunday morning at 11 o'clock at Bible Way Community Baptist Church. And tune in tomorrow as we take a look in the book. Sit down.